Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
God bless you. Good to see all of you online. I can't see you. You can see me, but may you be blessed by the presence of the Lord. There's such a richness in the house today. As I get into the word, I want to thank God, thank Pastor Dennis for a powerful word last week that lines up with this word. I know that Pastor Dennis spoke to you about your spiritual eyes being open, and this message now comes right after it again to see that your eyes, if you didn't get it last week, then go back and listen because they build on each other. We don't see how the Bible is written to pivot one message to the other, but God is always causing us to see the bigness of our God. So today we're in Matthew 21 verse 1 to 11, and in it comes some warnings. And so my message today is called The Warnings, The Warnings. We are at a point where Christ is about to be crucified in the biblical time, in the biblical context. And we, as we prepare for Easter, just go back to the slide, we are reshaping the culture. If we do not take seriously Easter week, Passion Week, the world will not take it seriously. And I'll reemphasize, it was not the world that stole the Christmas message and made it a commercial thing. It was the church that gave up the focus of Christ in Christmas and allowed it to become a commercial thing. And if we are not careful, we will do the same with Easter and then look what the world is doing. No, look what the church is doing, because we are not advocating that this is a pivotal time in the life and history of the church, that we celebrate what Christ has done, we celebrate who Christ is, and we celebrate who Christ is coming to redeem, those who have accepted salvation. So folks, this is a warning. It's called The Warnings today. And what is it about? We have to remember who we are preparing for. Who are we preparing for? Who are we preparing for? Jesus Christ. And what are we preparing for? His coming, heaven. So we can all go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but there's only one way, and that is through acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Palm Sunday is a preparation signal for Easter. It's a preparation signal. And so this each Palm Sunday, it signals the opening day for a Passion Week of remembering Jesus' walk to the cross, his dark hour before the cross, his suffering on the cross, his death on the cross, his burial, his sealed tomb, and finally, his resurrection from the dead. That is what this week our focus, and I trust if you're not fasting, that you will be fasting this week and asking God for breakthroughs in every area of life, society, and all aspects, that we would see something happen in our society that causes people to return to the Lord Jesus Christ. So folks, as we go through, we'll be reading Matthew 21 a little bit later, but this was not the first time that Christ predicted his own death, but the people refused to listen carefully and to hear him with clarity. See how it lines up with last week's message? It's the, are you hearing? Are you seeing? Are you paying attention? So their ears were dull of hearing as they focused on the noises in their society and the distractions of worldliness rather than on God. God is always warning us. He never does anything to humanity that he has not warned us about. But the people are always choosing to ignore the warnings. They ignored Noah during the time of the flood. As much as they saw him build the boat, they still ignored him. And we are seeing every sign of his second coming, but we're in a decade where people are again ignoring him. How many ignored the weather warning of this weekend? Come on, I'm first one. How many got caught? I was wearing shoes on Friday when the snow fell. How many? Come on, put your hands up if you were there. You weren't ready? Let me see. Good, I'm not the only one. How many took the snow brush out of their cars? Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that one honest hand, because I took the snow brush out because we hadn't had any snow. Those online, we had no snow. We had 4 snowfalls in the entire winter, and so I took the snow brush out, cleaned the car, and so you're there with your gloves cleaning snow because why? You ignored the warning. I actually didn't even believe them. Well, because they're always 50-50. We tend to listen to all the other alarms that are given except the spiritual alarm. We listen to the seatbelt, ding, 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 drives you crazy, 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 till you put it on. And if you stop listening to it, there comes a point it will stop, but you've put yourself in danger, or at least get a ticket. We listen to all the different alarms. Most people listen to all their cell phone alarms, listening for the buzz, listening. Is there a ding? Oh, there's a message. Oh, got one. Ding. We listen to everything else. Recently, I have a house alarm, and the house alarm battery was dinging. Or you know what? That just helped me. You know, I'm wrong word, but you know, concept. I didn't know the house alarm had a battery. I thought that when they installed it, it was plugged in somewhere. So I'm hearing this thing. It's driving me crazy, but I didn't know where it was coming from. And I checked the fire alarm. I checked the smoke, everything. And I'm like, and so finally I followed it, and it's the house alarm. And I'm like, why is it dinging? So I left it for a little while until it drove me nuts. And I called someone, and they said, oh, there's a battery in there. I'm like, why would you put a battery in a house alarm? Well, it's 10-year battery. Oh, I have to tell you this one quickly. It's a 10-year battery. Well, it expired in 1 year. I called the company. I said, it said, no, it's 1 to 10. I said, no, 1 to 10 is not a number. 1 to 10 is not a number. 1 to 3, 3 to 5, 5 to 10, but 1 to 10 is not a number. I had to throw that in there. I won't name the company. But I had to unplug it until the new battery arrived. So I left myself in jeopardy. Do you realize that we are unplugging ourselves from listening and doing and seeing what Christ is saying to us in this day? And his warnings are not for evil, they're for our good. We're looking, oh God, we don't want that to happen. Every warning is for our good. Don't unplug. It's for our security, our protection. It's for us to prepare ourselves for blessings in the future so no devastation overcomes us. And most of us, we've heard it and we've seen it, but we pretend it's not happening. And we're going with the mantra of society, everything's going to be fine. There is coming a day, and we need to be prepared for that day. So the alarm today is Jesus Christ, our Savior, is coming back soon. Are you seeing the signs? Are you hearing the dings? Because when your spiritual tuning is alert, you don't miss it. The Redeemer, our Savior, wants to restore all people back to God. And Jesus keeps warning us, take the kingdom of God seriously. Tell somebody this morning, friend, take the kingdom of God seriously. Tell somebody. I receive that. Take the kingdom of God seriously. So the warnings, let's look back now. This is before the triumphant entry. Let's look back at some warnings. Previous messages that were preached. We're now at Matthew 21, but this is now Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 13, and I'll skip and just do verse 20 and 22. Here's what happens. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do they say that the Son of Man is?" Then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said, "this will never happen to you." We're very much like Peter. It's like, don't know that's going to... Our grandparents have been saying he's coming. You know, heaven forbid, it's not going to happen. And so, folks, we are not preparing for the kingdom of God. And so he keeps giving the warnings again. So Jesus was not afraid to go to the cross. And our denial of him going to the cross does not change the fact of what he did for humanity. There'll be people like, "I don't believe in that." That is your problem, because it doesn't change what he did, whether you believe it or not. Folks, it's not up to people it's not up to people to make the determination if it happened. It happened, and you choose to believe it or reject it, but you're going to one day see the warning was real. So Christ's sole purpose of coming to earth as a divine God in human flesh was to live among God's creation, to feel the feelings of humanity, and to prove at the same time the power of God to work upon his people. We walk in divine power because of the cross of Jesus Christ. That is why healings will happen, miracles will happen, deliverance will happen, because he demonstrated to us how to embrace all the good things and promises of God and how to reject the evil that the enemy's trying to hurl upon society even in this day. So he came to bring salvation to each person, offering eternal life with God forever and ever. So why? God sent his Son, Jesus, to die for our sins, because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they work together saying we must restore the radiance of God's power to humanity so that fallen human beings will understand the true power of walking in relationship with a God who loves them. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 to 6 says, "There's only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time." I love that. 1 Timothy 2, 5, 6, if you want to put that in your book or in your phone. "For he reconciles us, and he came just at the right time." But he always gave a warning. So here's a second warning. Matthew 17, verse 22 to 23. "After they gathered again in Galilee." So the first one was Caesarea Philippi. Now he's in Galilee. And Jesus told them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of the enemies. He will be killed, but on the third day he will be raised from the dead." And the disciples were filled with grief. That's another funny one. The first one, Peter rebuked him. "Don't say that. It's not going to happen." Now they're filled with grief. It's like, oh no, he's going to die. And there are many of us that are in that, oh, Jesus died. No, but The warnings will always get stronger and stronger until we either heed them or we fall prey to whatever consequences comes after the warnings. Nowadays, many items we use, they all have warning signs. The new cars have a warning light on the side mirror, that. Right? And you when a car is too close, right? You see isn't that a warning? What do? Pull over. There are warnings in everything. Everything. Airplanes have warnings. Pull up, pull up, pull up. Folks, can I just tell you? Pull in, pull in, pull up, pull up. Do something. But don't ignore all the warning signs that Christ has given us today. There's hardly anything that comes without consequences. And we are today are trying to blame, many people are blaming God. Oh, I would go to church if my life was better. I would go to church if God would do this. God is not a jack in the box. God is the creator of the universe. We submit to him. He does not submit to us. So Jesus, again, giving another warning. First is Caesarea Philippi, then Galilee. Now here's another one, Matthew 20, verse 17. Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. He took the 12 disciples aside and privately told them what was going to happen to him. Listen, he said, we're going up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and teachers of the law. They will sentence him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged, and whipped and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. Folks, do you see how many times he kept telling, scripting, and letting the disciples know it's going to happen? Those that are contesting with you and contending with you, going, oh, I don't believe in all this. It is written in history what Christ has done, and it's recorded in the Word what Christ has done. And so we, how many more times do we need to be warned that he is coming back? The Christ who was resurrected from the dead shall return, and in order for us to take this seriously, we have to acknowledge that he's warning us again today. Can I hear a louder amen this morning? So by ignoring the warnings, people then miss the protective power. And many people, they don't want to hear the good news. They want to heed alternative facts and find other types of freedom. The bad news is, when you're into a soft denial, there awaits a harsher future. And the world is into a soft denial. Oh, no, sorry. The world is into denial of Christ, but the church is in a soft denial. I want to tell you something, folks. This church will always preach the Word of God. We'll preach it long and we'll preach it strong. We'll preach it good and we'll preach it like it says it, because we want you to have all the blessings and the promises of God unleashed upon your life. We want you, your friends and your family, your kids and all of those, we want to see a great harvest of souls come back into the kingdom. The church is to be filled with people who are sinners wanting to be saved by grace. The church is not just for those who've already encountered Christ. It's for everyone who needs to meet the Savior. That is what the church is about. While I'm on the topic, we're going over to the arena, right next to the casino. And people have thought, you are crazy. I had one pastor friend call me. He says, so there's still Pentecost in Pentecostal church? I said, yes. I want to share it on Tuesday night. Folks, we're not going over there to envelop and take on their spirit. We're going with the presence of Christ so rich in our lives that we change the atmosphere. Oh, you got to be here Tuesday to hear the word I've got. Shoo glory. Touch me Tuesday and I'll sizzle. People prefer that we tell them lies than tell them the truth, because they become easily discouraged by the truth rather than becoming empowered by the truth. They're not fully prepared for life or death, because many people fear death. So what they want to, don't say anything negative, only say positive things. Do you see what's happened to our kids? Little Johnny never does anything wrong. So now we've got all these old kids running around and they're, I'm depressed. Yeah, you're depressed because you never. No one can tell you no. And life has to have truth. Little Johnny, what you did is wrong, wrong, wrong. In my day, I would feel wrong this way. But in your day, we just want you to sit down and hear me clearly. It is wrong. You don't do things like that. Little Sarah, you may feel that you are God's princess, but other people must be respected. Do you hear me? We have got to start getting the truth into the generation so they stop being depressed about everything. The world is not fully prepared for what is going to happen in the times to come. And when you begin, most people now, how many people no longer watch the news because it's too much bad news? Come on, put it up. See? Half the church. Why? Because it's coming faster than we can handle it. But I'm going to tell you, we haven't seen anything yet. Because what Jesus died for is that we would all be prepared for heaven, not that we just live in the mess of earth. Somebody. So Passion Week, we will not be ashamed to tell everyone everywhere that we are celebrating the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not be ashamed. The Bible tells us in Romans 1, for I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work. What? Saving everyone who believes. God, we ask you to save everyone who will believe and call them into faith to believe. We are not. Are you ashamed of the gospel? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God at work. And there is, yes, the devil is big and bad, but he didn't create God. God created him. I need you to know my God is still in control. So Jesus speaks to all, fearful and non-fearful today. He's speaking to everyone. Whether you're fearful or non-fearful, Jesus is speaking to you. So here we now arrive at the text of today, Matthew 21, verse 1 to 11. And this is where we are preparing ourselves for the second coming of the Lord. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you're doing, just say, the Lord needs them. And he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He's humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did just as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him, threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and the others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and all the people around him were shouting, praise God, the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Praise God for the word. As I'm reading verse 10, it jumped out to me. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. God, let the entire city, let the entire region of Durham be in an uproar as we celebrate Good Friday and Easter Sunday about the King. So here's my topic quickly to you. It's about the fickleness of humans, the fickleness of humans. The people knew who Jesus was, so I got to ask a question. So why did they ignore him? He had been doing many miracles. His last warning was a very profound statement. He says, I am the king, but I'm now surrendering my earthly vessel as I'm preparing to return to my heavenly father. He kept on prophesying that he's going, even to the disciples and to those around. So then why is it that when we see what is true and what is right, that we choose to ignore it, telling ourselves it's not going to happen now, I'm okay, I don't have to live like this, don't let the fear of God get you, you're okay, there'll be time, and we're all making these statements as if we're in control of our own breath, as if breath doesn't come from God. Somebody talked to me this morning. We're acting as if we are, just because medical science can give us so much help, we think that we are in control of the breath that is within us. This breath within me is not because of doctors. It's not because of any money I have. It's not because of anything else, but that God is able to keep breath inside of my body until he says no more. So Jesus was preparing for the cross, and they didn't want to hear about that. Likewise, as we're preparing to celebrate what Christ did on the cross, many don't want to hear about it. And there are even some Christians who want the soft approach. Don't make it. Many have removed the cross. Many don't want crosses in church. Thank God we've got our cross back lit up again. The cross is the central point of all that we are living for. Because of the cross, there is eternity for you and I. Hebrews 2:14 says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also came and became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power over death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. You know what he's saying? There are people who are living as slaves to the fear of dying. And I tell you, when you're walking with the Lord, there's no fear because there's a better place of coming. I'm not saying that you want to go. That's suicidal. He didn't call you to suicidal. But there should be a peace that passes all understanding. So we are not slaves. That's the word he used. Don't become a slave to the fear. Fear is false evidence becoming real, appearing real. So when we get into fear, we begin to see things and do things that are outside of God's purpose. But Christ dead on the cross was God's purpose for our eternity, so that we know with assurance that there is a better place and a better life coming because Christ secured it for us. The cross was the Father's ultimate objective for Christ coming to the earth. The cross was dear to Christ's heart because he knew his fellow humanity would be set free from the bondage of sin. The cross was pivotal for humanity, as it alone can reconcile human beings back to God and reconcile us in right relationship with each other. The cross was the new covenant God made in order to turn humanity's lives back towards the former glory that he promised. 1 John 2:2 says, he himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. He atoned for the sins of all the world. That is why the rest of the world must come back to recognizing that it's only the cross that can bring them back to God. Folks, the cross is our encouragement and motivation. Paul reminds us in his prayer in Ephesians, as he prays for us, he reminds us of the privileges that we have because of the power of the cross. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians 1:18-20. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light. Oh, come on, just think of this. Flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given us to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Paul understood it, and Paul left it for us. And so now here's Jesus' last warning before he left. His warning to everyone, Matthew 21. This is where he calls the disciples to see if they're seeing. Remember the message last week? With spiritual eyes. So he sends the disciples on an errand, but it wasn't just an errand, it was a spiritual errand. It was a spiritual errand looking like an earthly chore. See, some earthly things we do have spiritual significance. He says to them, go get a donkey, and it must be a colt. He's saying, get the stubborn young thing, the foolish thing, the least useful thing, and that's what I want you to get. And then he says, don't put a saddle on it, which is what, don't put all the trappings of the world on it. Just get me the colt. Don't get all flowers and roses and all that. You see, as Jesus climbed on a donkey's colt, nothing seemed natural unless your spiritual eyes could see what God was doing. Hello? See, the people were asking, the Bible says, who is this? And here's what you got to understand. In those days, Much now we have vehicles, so you could think in vehicle status. I'll tell you in horse status. In those days, horses had a status statement similar to cars today. There's a types of horses. There was the majestic horses, the Clydesdale, the Arabian, or the Frisian. All those horses were considered top of the chain. If you were a king or a notoriety, you came riding into the city and everybody would go, who is that? If you see a Lamborghini pull up at the church, you're like, who's driving that? I'd be going, who going tide today? Notoriety in kingship was noticed in public by what they came in on. Jesus asked for the reverse. Don't get me a horse, get me a donkey. Stubborn, willful, stupid thing. Get me one of those because I deal with that all the time, Jesus was probably thinking. Just adding that in. But he said, but don't get me the donkey. Get me the donkey's colt. You imagine him coming in on a little colt? I'm the king, on a stupid little donkey's colt. And the people normally would ignore that. But when the Spirit of God is moving, they begin to see revelation. They would ask if you came in on an Arabian horse, who is that? But when Jesus came in on what was the reverse, this is important. Because we think we are under the culture, but we are actually above the culture. He came in on the donkey's colt, and the city went in an uproar. Who is this? And he said, and again, if you had the Arabian or the Clydesdale or Frisian horses, as they listed in the book, if you had those ones, okay, you'd have to put the big, elaborate saddle, probably with a gold tip and all of that. He said, don't put anything on the little colt. It was so embarrassing that it says, I'm translating, that the disciples threw their cloaks over it. They took their outer garment and goes, you can't just ride bareback like you're the king. He wanted nothing to make the world see who he is because the power of Christ should draw them to himself. We don't have to do trappings for people. He is enough. Most of the crowds, let me read Matthew 21. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him. The others cut branches from the trees, spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession. And the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. And the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They ask. See, Jesus did the reverse so they would take the King of God, the King of the Lord, the King of heaven, seriously. They would take the kingdom of God seriously. Folks, you don't have to go to people and do elaborate things for them to come to Christ. Go in humility, go in simplicity, go even in your stupidity. Hello? I think sometimes we're trying to be so astute. I've told you many times, I will preach as simply as I can, so I could reach as many as I can. Be stirred to ask the question, the key question of life today. Who is this? And then worship him. It says they worshiped him. They threw palm branches. They began to demonstrate. This doesn't make sense. Your friends and coworkers and family are going to go, it doesn't make sense. No. It can't make sense to the human mind because it's spiritually given. So that's why we pray for their eyes to be opened, for the enlightenment to come, that they would know who Christ is. This Passion Week, I'm going to ask you to invite people to come to God. And even the skeptics need a reminder. Who are we preparing for? Jesus. It's not about our churchology. It's not about the dressing up and all of this. Some of you are going to hate me. Please don't wear the big hat and all that next week. Keep the hat for another week. I don't want to frighten anybody. Love me anyhow. I know Easter is about the Easter hat, right? Easter bun, Easter hat, Easter dress, we grew up. Can we just come with the presence of the Lord so rich in us that even as we're passing by people, remember when Peter walked, his shadow caused people to be healed, his shadow. Can you come with such a presence that people tremble and ask, I need to know who he is. I need them to ask, I need to know who he is. The skeptics need a reminder. The skeptics, even the skeptics, need a reminder. And many are ignoring the warnings to remind them. Warnings are for our benefit, for their safety. So I got to ask you, who are you praying for this week to come to salvation? That's what Easter is about. Online, whenever you listen to this message, it's still the same. Who are you praying for? Who are you going to reach out to? Who are you going to purposely touch? Who are you going to purposely speak to? Who are you going to do something so even in your simplicity or your stupidity, they see the power of Christ at work? I've always told you, I do not understand my life as I travel. I don't do anything. I've got my own little system. And no matter where I go in airports, people will come up to me. Why? Because when you carry the presence of the Lord and people are afraid, something draws them to you. When you walk around your society, they're either going to fight you or they're going to draw to you. When I walked into a store recently, just recently, get ready, folks, just recently, and I went up, I was actually going to buy lipstick. So I won't name the store because I'll give them this. I'm going to let them off the hook this time. I went in and I'm saying, excuse me, can I just get this color again? He looked at me. I said, this color? I brought the thing. You have to go to someone over there. I said, are you busy? No. And I realized spirit's fighting spirit right now. So I ain't moving. I'm going to break this down. I'm going to break this spirit down. So I stood there and I said, okay, let's start over. Good morning. All I need is a lipstick and I'll be out of here. So could you just get me that lipstick? And he goes on the headphone. Can you bring lipstick number over? And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, this ain't going well. Spirit fighting. See, when you get that, you've got to realize what it is. We don't know each other, so it's not a personal fight. What was it? A spiritual fight. Because when you carry the Spirit of God with you, they're either going to fight you or they're going to want to be part of, they want to engage you or fight you. So after I got it from the other person and I'm heading out, got to make sure we add a little love. So you go by and you're like, thanks for helping me. Folks, we're fighting powers and principalities in high places, but we're not afraid of it. We have every warning he's coming again. That's why we must be serious about the seasons where people are open to hearing the gospel. Passion Week opens their spirit to hearing the gospel because Easter matters. So right now, worship team's going to sing. Online, would you grab a piece of paper? Everyone, pull out your paper. As the worship team sings this quietly, I want you to get your paper and you want you to write down the names of people that you're going to invite. Don't just tell me who you're going to pray for because I don't know when you're praying. Who you're going to invite. And that means even your neighbor. If you can't think of the number or the address, then just write the house, the pink house, three doors down. But you're going to write it because you're going to live it. If you need a pen, ushers are coming with pens in their hands. If you don't have a paper, just raise a hand. They'll get you a pen. Would you just hold those cards out, up, however you want to. You know every name or number you wrote on it. And I want you now to begin to call them out in prayer as I pray. And I want you throughout this week to be thinking of others. Write it down and keep praying. Don't leave the work to somebody else. Every one of us that have been blessed of God can impact someone else's life. Even if you're new and you said, I just started coming to church, or I just got saved, or I'm not even saved yet. You know somebody who needs to come in. You know some people that are heading for hell, and you can help them to be heaven bound. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift, oh God, the names to you, the sheets to you, the addresses to you, though God, the person that we've seen in a store, the co-worker, God, we lift them to you. Every person needs salvation. When you came into Jerusalem and you, Lord God, rode in on a colt, a donkey's colt, a stupid, silly animal that, oh God, was not even broken. Oh God, you did it to demonstrate. You're not looking for the high and lofty things. You're just looking for us to accept that you are the King of glory. And so, Lord God Almighty, I pray for every person, oh God, that boldness will come to your people, that we will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God to salvation. That we will remember salvation heals, salvation delivers, salvation sets free, and that we would begin to walk, oh God, in a newness that causes creation to change and shift, and the atmosphere to shift, so that many will come into the kingdom of God. Father, we are not the tail of society, we're the head of society. So I declare over everyone a peace, oh God, and a powerful presence. My God, a confidence, a boldness in the Holy Ghost. My God, loosen our testimonies, oh God, that we will remember that you saved us. You set us free from the bondages of sin for which Christ came. Father, reverse everything, oh God, in our society by using us for your glory. I ask it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.